nation's capital, two blonde journalists who seek complete world domination. They're funny, they're informative, they're out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Tim.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timpf.
Hey, guys.
Catherine, you just came... Oh, we play every Tuesday night, just in case you're wondering, at breakingbeltway.com, or you can check us out at the iTunes store. You just got to download a podcast app, and you can subscribe to us every week.
Yeah.
And, Kat, we're running a little late tonight, and you were at an event tonight. Tell our listeners about that.
Yes, I was at an event at University of Maryland, which, by the way, is a public school, so everyone who's listening pays for this.
Yes.
And I went to an event that was like sex toys for adults. It was basically a workshop about choosing safe and environmentally friendly sex toys. And it was this lady, and she was just like, it was really disgusting. She was pulling out all these different toys, and she was like...
Wait, well, environmentally friendly. So these are green.
Right. She's recommending the rechargeable ones because you don't have to get rid of the batteries.
Are we talking about sex toys that are rechargeable or what? Solar powered?
Also, she was talking about a wooden, she brought out this like wooden vibrator dildo, and she was like, you sterilize it, you know, if you're gonna put it in someone's butt.
Then oh my god! Okay.
No, literally, no. This is what I had to listen to. This is, you put it in someone, because when you put it in someone's butt, then you sterilize it, and you can, if you're gonna put it in someone else's butt, and then if you sterilize, then you can put it in someone else's butt. And I'm just sitting there like,
oh my god, do they know who you were? Did you have to introduce
yourself? No, I didn't. They didn't know.
So
who I
you're talking. Okay, wait a second. So that doesn't sound sanitary. A wooden. If it's wooden, that doesn't...
Yeah, she's like, there's a coating on it, and I
okay,
know.
So these... How many people were there?
I would... Like, fewer than 50, but...
Really? That's still a lot.
It's kind of a lot, yeah.
And it was on campus.
It was on campus. It was in the student center. It was part of the school sex week. They had a whole bunch of things.
What else did they have for sex week?
I missed this one, but they did have a... on campusreform.org, you can check it out, the sex week story. They had a class or a workshop about how to properly dirty talk to get what you want, which was taught by someone else from the sex toy shop, who's also a pole dancer. Because, yeah, so, like, dirty talk, which is, like, fine if you want to, like, take that class on your own time. That's, like, not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, the government is shut down because we don't have any money. And it's paying for this. And also, like, the woman who was teaching the workshop, she was the owner of the sex toy shop in D.C., this sex toy shop that's, like, devoted to environmentally friendly sex toys.
Hey, is this by any chance, I remembered reading about a sex shop that was offering free either classes or sex toys to furloughed government employees?
No, that was in Detroit, I thought.
Oh. Maybe. Because that's interesting as well. But
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the whole thing with this... You know, I was a little taken aback because last week we had the sex show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last week when we talked about a couple of these things and these campuses hosting these sex classes and, you know, a couple of people called us prudes in so many words. One guy called us social conservative squares.
That's hilarious.
To quote him. And, you know, I have a real problem with that because, you know, A, we're not social conservatives. B, we're definitely not squares.
Right.
And, you know, how dare you call me a prude and a square just because I don't believe that, you know, the taxpayer should have to pay for these classes. And you know, this is the University of Maryland. These are Maryland residents that have to pay for these classes.
They get federal government money, too.
And, you know, taxes and all that stuff, you don't get to choose where your taxes go.
Right.
I understand that.
Right.
Like, you don't get to choose where your student fees go, but where do you draw the line?
Right. I mean, this thing that she was picking up, she brought all these sex toys. She had this big silver thing. She picks it up. She's like, and this you can put in someone's butt. I was like, what? Like, this is not, this is it's a tax dollars. You know, that could go to but what I'm saying here is that could go to, you know, give another student a scholarship. or something like that, rather than
gonna get me a stylish
this girl, shit. This woman show up. And plus, she owned the sex toy shop, so she was like promoting a lot of her own products.
She's there. It's like a Mary Kay demonstration.
Right, it's like they hosted a Tupperware
it
party.
It was like an Avon calling. You know, she's having a little Tupperware party. It's like a pyramid scheme.
That's what I sound like. I mean, so she's promoting her own.
Oh,
weird...
that's ridiculous. And now that you say that, that makes it even worse.
Yep. Exactly.
So, you know, we're not prudes. We're just realists.
I mean, right. My first time I was around the Judge Report was for this story about this woman who was teaching this workshop, another one of these sex workshops, about how, like, we shouldn't judge people who engage in, like, bestiality, like, because some people do it, and, like, about, like, looking at everything with non-judgmental eyes. And then she flipped out on me after I published the story, was calling my work and saying that I was an erotophobe, which means I hate sex, and then a homophobic blogger. And this is when I was living with all those gay guys, so I was like, this is really funny. How many gay roommates do you have? Because I have a couple. just people associate, you know, that's one of the talking points that you hear from the left all the time. Is if you say anything wrong about anything that has the word sex or anything in it, you're a homophobe. You hate sex, you're a square, you're social conservative.
Yeah, and of course, you know, being libertarians, you automatically get lumped in with social conservatives.
Right. I mean, I'd be just as angry about a Tupperware party.
But it's, you know, we can't win. We can't win. Because I have the social conservatives yelling at me about this.
Same.
Saying that I'm a whore and I'm a harlot. I got called that the other day, a harlot. Like, Grandpa, thanks.
Someone's been reading the Scarlet Letter.
Right? I mean, so I got the social conservatives saying that I'm fake edgy, that I'm a whore because I like Miley Cyrus. And then I have the other people over here saying that I'm a prude because I don't think that, you know, Maryland residents should have to pay for your, you know, butt sex training session. I really don't think that I should have to pay for that. I mean, call me crazy.
Yeah, she was like talking about, oh my gosh, like all these different like loop. Oh my gosh, I can't even repeat some of the things I've heard.
Kat briefed me on some of the things, and it goes into a little bit of more detail than we'd like to here. I'm breaking belt.
Disgusting. I heard way too much about her personal sex life.
More than you needed to.
More than I need to. I'll spare all these other people.
Yeah, and then that other girl, what did that other girl say to us? She said, on Twitter, she said that we needed a sex positive perspective.
Yeah, okay.
Because of our show last week and how we were speaking negative about the girl who was mad at Texas for not teaching her properly how to have an orgasm.
Right.
We were a little taken aback that a person could grow up in life expecting that the state is responsible for teaching you how to pleasure yourself. I mean, call us crazy, but we don't think that that's a priority of the state.
Creepy. That's I don't want creepy. The state to have any interest in that area of my life.
And I have a problem with that. And this girl on Twitter, you know, God bless her, she listened to our show. I mean, that's great. Same with the guy that called us squares. They listened to our show. But, you know, and she said that we needed a sex-positive perspective, which I don't really understand what a sex-negative perspective is.
So we're sex-negative.
I don't understand that. What does that even mean? I don't get it.
I don't even know if anyone who's sex negative. I don't even think even the most socially conservative Republicans are sex negative.
I don't even know what that word means.
Exactly.
So I can't
That's
even contribute to the conversation.
Right, I don't either.
But in so many words, she was calling us prudes and that we need to lighten up. That's basically what she was saying.
I don't. Well, we should ask her how she learned to pleasure herself.
Yeah. What state does she live in? I want to know what state Miss Thang lives in and who taught her how to have a proper orgasm. Because, I'd like to know.
And do you think...
Because I'd like to do a story on that. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
So do you think that it's the state's... I mean, that would creep me out. I don't want the state to have that interest in
my life. Look at these libs. Look at these liberals saying, stay out of my bedroom. Stay off my body. You know?
And then be like, but
stay
come
out of my bedroom.
Yeah. Stay out of my bedroom. Off my body. Except... come into my bedroom.
Yeah.
And like what?
I saw a commercial for, you know, we were getting bombarded with Virginia ads.
Of course.
And even though I'm in Maryland. But we're getting bombarded by these ads, and I guess it was Cuccinelli, one of the women was like, oh, how dare he put his ideas on my body kind of thing. And I'm like, this woman probably voted for Obama. She probably is for Obamacare.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't understand, like, how they can possibly think that one thing is okay and the other thing isn't. I was actually, my Halloween costume, I'm just going to draw a big 404 on my shirt. It's like the easiest costume ever. You just walk around as Obamacare.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, people just automatically think that, you know, healthcare coverage equals healthcare. They think that healthcare coverage and healthcare are the same thing. And just because, you know, this is the first time, you know, we've ever had to, you know, buy into a product without any guarantee on the return. We have no guarantee on the return. How do we know anybody's even going to be able to take care of us?
Well, they're not. It's like Social Security all over again.
Right.
Because, you know, I talked about this on Fox last week, just about how they are openly, this isn't like a conservative talking point that it depends on youth to pay for it. No. The Obama administration is saying we need young people. Mm-hmm. To sign up in order to pay for the people who are older and getting sick.
Exactly.
They need 3.7 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 3.7 million or it's not going to work.
Right.
And they're saying we want to take the, you know, and they're pretending to, you know, feel so bad for all these kids who have all these student debt, and it's like, well, you're taking more of their money. You're outright admitting that you need them to sign up and to take their money. And what I don't understand also is, okay, like, if you look at student loans, basically, the more aid that government has given for these things, the more expensive it's gotten. Schools just keep raising their prices.
Right.
Like, I don't know what's so difficult for people to understand about the fact that nothing is free.
Right.
You know, you can't just create things out of thin air. They cost something. There's a labor cost to things. There's a material cost to things. There's free healthcare. The fact that people, they're like, is this what people really think? If somebody, please let me know, if anyone out there is listening who think, oh, well, why wouldn't you want free healthcare? It's free healthcare. Like, that's like their extent of their argument.
What was that one girl who was like, there was a quote and she was like, you know, oh yeah, I wanted to have free healthcare, but I didn't realize I was gonna have to pay for it. Or like, I want everybody in America to have free healthcare, but I didn't know I was gonna have to pay for it. It was something like that. Like,
ridiculous.
Are you insane? I remember I dated a guy. It didn't last too long, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you know, we would fight constantly about Obamacare because he didn't care. He didn't know anything about it, but he called himself a liberal. And it's like, okay, if you're gonna call yourself a liberal, at least know why you're calling yourself a liberal. And I tried to tell him about Obamacare, and he's like, wait a second. So, like, I really think this is a good idea, but wait a second. You mean that my check is going to be less now? You mean that I'm going to have more taxes taken out? He had no clue. No clue. And a lot of people don't even know that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are even the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, we'll go into that a little bit further in the next segment. We have a really good story by Caleb Bottom, one of your coworkers from Campus Reform, talking about the shutdown and stuff. But we're going to take a break. And give you some, let's see, what do we have here? Sublime. 40 Ounce to Freedom.
Oh, nice.
You got your hair permed. You got your red dress on. Screaming that second gear was such a turn on. And the fog forming on my window tells me that the morning's here and you'll be gone before too long. Who taught you those new tricks? Damn, I shouldn't start that talk. But life is one big question when you're staring at the clock. And the answer's always waiting at the liquor store. 40 ounces to freedom, so I take that walk. And I know that back.
And welcome back. You're listening to Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Tim.
Yay.
And Catherine, your coworker, your colleague, Caleb, he was at the University of Colorado.
He lives in Colorado, yeah.
Oh, okay. And he had this video. He actually found out that the students that go there, they actually are blaming Obama and the Democrats for the shutdown.
Yeah, that was really shocking. You know, he actually discussed this on Fox and Friends on Saturday. It was a huge deal because, you know, this is college students, which are normally very liberal, at University of Colorado, which is liberal, normally, I would think. But, yeah, he had, like, that paper with all the tallies on it.
Right.
You know, do you blame the Dems, the GOP, or Obama? And
it was just one after another yeah, saying Obama.
Yeah, you know, more than 10 are blaming. I mean, Democrats, even more people blame Democrats than GOP.
And that's shocking because the media has been just blasting the GOP. It's the GOP's fault for this entire thing. You know, if you were listening to the media, let's play a sound clip from this one girl who was kind of funny.
All right.
Who do you blame for the government shutdown?
Obama.
Blame Obama?
Nice. Rally it up.
Why do you blame Obama for the government shutdown?
Because Obamacare is stupid.
Why do you think Obamacare is dumb?
Because you shouldn't be required to have health care.
Go off with the individual mandate.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
We're asking students at the University of Colorado, who do you blame for the government shutdown?
Democrats.
At the University of Colorado, it is unanimous so far.
Very interesting that that these kids are one after another blaming the Democrats. It shows that the media narrative maybe isn't working in Colorado.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, some things, you know, the GOP, you gotta wonder, what would it be like if Ted Cruz wasn't doing this stuff? Like, that horrible hashtag, Obamacare is not an iPhone, that's gotta go.
That's gotta stop. I never read that one.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's shocking. It gives a little bit of hope, but not really, because it's still going to be the same no matter what. I mean, it's Obamacare is going to happen.
Right.
Do you understand how I just said that? I sounded like, yeah, I just saw my cat get run over by a truck. That's, like, the same way that I sounded, like, Obamacare is going to happen, because it's terrible. It's going to be so bad.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, the fallout, I mean, look at what it's turned into already. It's been an absolute fiasco, and everybody knows it, you know. You don't really need much of a media narrative to sway people's opinions because they know what's going on, you know. People aren't that dumb. I mean, they see that, you know, I mean, people in the hundreds have gotten through to this thing in state by state.
It's so bizarre.
What was it, Hawaii? I think it was Hawaii, to where, like, the first week or two, they hadn't gotten one person to sign up because of some kind of major glitch. And I love that word, too, glitch.
Like, that can mean anything.
It's glitchy. Like, oh, it's just a little glitchy. Like, no, your website does not work. It is completely debilitated. Glitchy does not mean debilitated.
Yeah, no, glitchy is like, oh, the screen just flashed for a couple seconds. Or, right. Oh, it's a little slow if you click on this link.
Right.
Yeah, glitchy.
It is a complete
disaster. It's like saying
disaster.
Someone's sort of sick after they've been dead for a week
and a
half.
It's already begun. I mean, it's absolutely already begun. If we're having this much trouble right now, I mean, this was supposed to be a really high-tech website, you know? And it was only 70% operable, and when they launched it, and they didn't listen. They launched it anyway. And, you know, this should be indicative of what's to come.
Yeah, and people are saying, oh, let's just let it fail, and then we'll learn, and then we'll switch. That's not how it works. Like, I feel like this is just how, this is our life now. Obamacare is going to happen. And, I mean, I hate all the narrative. It's like, you don't like sick, you want sick people to die.
Oh, yeah, we want to push Granny off a cliff.
We need more money for guns, so we can't have help, you know.
Gosh, what was that story last week where that Mexican woman gave birth on the front lawn of that Mexican hospital?
Oh, that's so horrifying.
And you know, they're being sued now, of course.
They told her. It wasn't like she was lost out there. They told her, we don't have room for you.
Yeah, they told her, you know, this is not an emergency situation.
It's not an emergency. Giving birth
We don't have enough doctors to take care of you. And also, there was a dialect issue. They couldn't really understand. So they went outside, and the woman, she had already given birth twice before, so she knew what was going on, and she just popped a squat and gave birth.
Ew.
And the picture...
Is it bad that birth grosses me out? Am I an 11-year-old boy because I can't even talk about birth? I'm feeling so sick. Ew.
But yeah, the picture of her giving birth and the umbilical cord still attached was on the front cover of a Mexican magazine. It was this huge outcry against the hospital. And, you know, Mexico has had socialized medicine for 4 years.
First of all, they put that on the cover of a magazine?
Yeah, they don't have the same
discretion. I'm not okay with that. I don't want to be throwing up in the middle of a 7-Eleven if I see that.
But I got to tell you, the story was very powerful.
It is. Very and that's powerful. Obviously very powerful and acceptable. I'm just distracted. I have a thing. I have a thing about blood and... Ugh. I think it's too far on American television that you can say the phrase cord blood.
So we know that if Kat ever does have children, she's going to be knocked out. It'll be a planned C-section for Miss Catherine.
I don't want to do that, though. I wouldn't want to do that.
Hey, man, that's the way to go. You go to sleep, you wake up, poof, it's there.
my mom had all three of us naturally. No drugs.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. Cord blood shouldn't be allowed on TV, that word. When they're like...
That's disgusting.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry. Sorry, everybody.
We're so mature.
No, I mean, that's obviously... No one's... This is obviously a tragic story. That's definitely... To be told that's not an emergency. I treat things way less serious than giving birth as emergencies.
Right.
Like, if I don't know what direction I'm going in when I was driving, I used to turn my emergency lights on. Because I'm, like, freaking out, and it's, like, an emotional emergency, and it still counts. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to tell the cop. I did get pulled over one time, and it was always in a roundabout. I didn't still not understand roundabouts very well. I just, they were tough for me. I would never know which street. I was always lost. One time a cop pulled me over, and he's like, "Do you have any idea what you are doing?" He said, "No."
Yeah, I remember when you got rid of your car, you're like, it's better this way.
It's better this way.
It's better with me off the road.
You know, I'm a smart girl. Driving is not my strong suit. I have a creative mind. I think more about ideas than turn lanes and things like that.
Yeah, you're an airhead.
I'm not an airhead. I'm a creative mind.
You're a distracted. You get distracted.
Yeah, I do.
And what else? Oh, okay. For WashingtonTimes.com, for our listeners out there, you probably already know, but I work for Washington Times.
Mm-hmm.
I write for WashingtonTimes.com. And every week I write these stories. A lot of them are just nuts. This one, I guess.
Speaking of glitches.
Yeah, speaking of glitchy government programs and government agencies, the EBT, the Electronic Benefits Transfer, food stamps. I guess there was a problem. Xerox contracts with them. Something messed up with them. They went offline for like 2 hours, right? And I guess the word spread really quickly in Louisiana in these two different cities, Spring Hill and Mansfield, Louisiana. And all of a sudden, you know, these food stamp recipients just flooded, completely ransacked these Walmarts because they thought they were going to have unlimited balances, okay? Like, oh, snap, we got free food or free, you know, whatever they're going to get. I mean, it's Walmart. They were probably loading up on all sorts
TVs.
Of stuff.
I would have got a TV.
I mean, can you
I would have gotten another
like
TV.
I mean, if you have an unlimited balance, then, I mean, I don't know
yeah,
anything
maybe
about
not.
It.
I'm sure those are, like, restricted
I don't know
items.
Anything about it.
I don't
it.
Think you can get, yeah, I don't either, but I don't. I really, if you can get TVs on
but if you have
a
card,
it,
like,
a
aren't you just swiping a card? Like,
wasn't
or is
there
it...
a story a while ago that you could just swipe, so people were getting cash out or something, and, like, gambling?
Like an ATM card.
Yeah.
Like a debit. But, yeah, like, these people, they just completely ransacked this place, these places on a Saturday night. And
what I'm sorry. What a Southern Saturday. Like, that's.
Could you imagine? I just can't imagine. Okay, this is like Black Friday. Like, I don't care how good the coupons are. I don't care how good the deals are. You could be giving stuff away for free, and I am not going to deal with this mob, okay? But that's what these people did. And
what if you didn't know
it? And, oh, yeah, what if you were just
there?
You're
just deciding to go shopping.
What if you're just there?
Like, oh, it's Saturday night. Most people be out. And
yeah,
then you just,
that's what I do. If I do my grocery shopping, it's on, like, a Friday night. Where
I do that a lot,
around.
Too, yeah.
Or, like, midnight, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, okay, so this is what happened. It came back online at, like, 9 o'clock. So everybody was trying to get their food, and all of a sudden, like, everything cost a lot of money. So they just dumped their carts every which way. And, like, we're talking about thousands of dollars of food spoiling, just laying around in carts and carts and carts and carts and carts in these Walmarts. And I saw a video of it. It was absolutely unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. Just piles of meat and food just everywhere. And so these Walmart employees had to put everything. One woman tried to walk out. She tried to walk out with $700 worth of groceries. She got to the cashier. She had 49 cents on her card. Okay? So these people were robbing the place.
Yeah, that's
and they knew it. They were this was looting.
Yeah.
There's no other which way about it. If nobody bothered to ask why, nobody bothered to ask how, if all of a sudden I had an unlimited balance on my whatever, would you just automatically go and spend it? I can't
yes,
imagine.
I might. Yes, I might. I might. I mean, no. I mean, I don't know.
What if it was the government paying for it?
Right, no, I understand.
What if it was coming from Obama's stash?
I understand. And I mean, also the level of respect that they had for the entire situation is,
right.
You know, emphasized. Oh, what do you mean I don't get all this free food? Well, I'm just going to dump
here.
It everywhere.
Yeah,
take care of it. The fault of the Walmart people
right.
who probably aren't, if you're working at Walmart, you know, you probably aren't making a ton of money.
Right.
And you're going to, your job isn't probably very fun. It might be. Everyone's different. But just to say, because of a glitch that's not your fault, now all you people, like hardworking people, have to clean up spoiled meat, rotting meat.
And now the question is, whose fault is it? And is Walmart going to get reimbursed or, you know, whatever? And, you know, I said, because there was a quote in there, I don't know if I included in the story. We did make the decision. This was a Walmart representative. She said, we did make the decision to continue to accept EBT cards during the outage so that they could get food for their families. That right there, that should be you being willing to take your losses. I don't think that they should be able to be reimbursed for that. If, you know, I just, maybe it's Xerox's fault. Maybe they could go to Xerox.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not the government's fault. It's certainly not the taxpayer's fault.
Right.
You know, if Walmart decided to, quote, give food for their families, then that's a Walmart, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, well, I mean, whose fault is it?
Xerox. Xerox had the outage.
Yeah.
But somebody made an executive decision to keep giving out free food.
People don't have
Walmart.
People don't have any respect for the government's money. As long as they didn't have to pay for it, they didn't care.
Sure.
Everyone's just trying to get as much money from the government as they can.
Sure. $700? She loaded up $700 knowing that she had 50 cents.
Yeah, that's sick.
That's sick.
That's sick. That's definitely sick. And she knew. She wasn't like, oh, maybe I got this money somehow. She knew it was a mistake. She knew it was a glitch.
Oh, yeah, because
so that's why they started flocking there. Yeah, that's absurd.
Oh, they're giving away free food over at Walmart or whatever, or free EB or, you know, whatever. Like, the word spread so quickly that they just got completely mobbed all at once.
Oops.
So
sorry, that was my. I got a text. I want everyone to know I got a text message. I'm so popular.
But yeah, that story definitely did really well because people are just sick of it. They're sick of it. They're sick of this mentality. Like, yeah, I realize the economy is bad. Yeah, I realize, like, you know, these are hard times, but have a little dignity. You know?
Dignity. That's what people are missing
Have
right
a little
there.
Dignity.
That is the perfect word. Dignity.
You're not going to catch me rummaging through a pile of meat for my free cheeseburger. I don't know. Like, what the heck?
Hot dog.
Yeah.
This is the problem. Nobody
wrestling mullet from each other.
There's no pride anymore in providing for yourself and being self-sufficient.
No. And you know, a lot of times
because there's
it's
no
generational
dignity.
Too.
Yep.
It's generational welfare recipient. So it's passed down and passed down and passed down. And it becomes a, you know, the government owes me. And God forbid you cut off that lifeline. God forbid something happens to the food stamps and there's a lot of trouble. There was just something the other day where something happened. I didn't read much on it, so I can't really talk about it. But there was something just the other day where something on Twitter. It was like a trending Twitter, and it was like food stamp riot because I guess something happened somewhere. But yeah, it's just this mentality, you know, free Obama phones, free Obamacare phones. If you if you sign up for Obamacare in Minnesota, you get a free phone. If you know, it's just
okay. You know, I mean, here's the thing. The government's trying to do too much, clearly. Food stamps, it's doing food stamps. It's doing, you know, national security, and then it's doing regulations on farms, and then it's now it's going to do health care, and it's, the government can't do any, you know, what's a private business going to do if the government's already doing everything?
And doing none of it well.
Doing none of it well, exactly. You know, food stamps, obviously, people make it about, oh, you know, there's going to be these people who are falling on hard times and aren't going to get food, and that's horrible. That's
right.
Obviously horrible that, you know, these people that are, you know, falling on hard times, that don't, you know, have maybe been born into a situation where it's, you know, hard for them to get money. But then you see something like this, you're like, okay, there's some people that are just... they're just sick. They're going to go and purposely try and steal, and then they're going to leave all of the stuff everywhere for someone else to clean up.
Right.
I mean, this story wasn't very widely reported, and I'm sure because it doesn't fit the narrative that everyone that's on food stamps is an angel. Of course not. Everyone that's on food stamps has this mentality.
Right.
And wants to steal from the government. There's plenty of people who have fallen on hard times and want, you know...
And who do it as a temporary
right.
Alternative.
But then there's this, and you know, you can't. It's people, you don't want to say it. You don't want to acknowledge that this is out there. But you know, there is this. This is existing, and we are spending money. I mean, we should be talking about at least.
Right.
But nobody is, because nobody wants to be offensive.
Right. And speaking of not being offensive, the
yes.
politically correct, you know, everybody is talking about this Redskins fiasco.
Right, right.
You know, the Redskins, they're you know, just calling them the Redskins is offensive. And you know what's so funny about the Redskins controversy is all the people that are so offended by this are non-Native Americans.
Right, right.
You know? And even Obama had to throw in his 2 cents not too long ago about how he would change the name if he had the choice.
Of course he would. I mean, that's not shocking.
How dare he even answer that question?
Right, because he's a pop culture icon, and that's all he really wants to be. But the
Redskins, PETA actually has a idea for them.
They're the best.
And I love PETA. I always go to their website just to get little news tidbits, because every once in a while they come out with something like this. They came up with the Redskin potato. Why don't you just change your mascot instead of being Native American? Make it a potato, because they're
PETA
fierce
is
and...
They also were calling for an investigation of some school. I can't remember the stories from a little while ago.
Redskins itself are a Google there.
Oh. Oops, there's some Redskins. But anyways. So, an eagle. The school started using a live eagle as a mascot during football games, and they wanted it to be investigated as a molestation.
What?
Just crazy.
Like molesting the eagle?
Yeah.
I guess? Like, don't molest the eagle?
Yeah. But, okay, do you think they think they're funny, or do you think they really are that crazy, Apita?
Well...
I think it's a mixture.
I think this was written kind of in jest. I mean, it was a picture of a potato just, like, laying there. Like, a Redskin potato.
Why do more people not talk about, if they're going to talk about the Redskins, why do they not talk about how the Cleveland Indians are allowed to use that logo?
Yeah.
Like, that's...
And how come, what was it, the Blackskins? Who's Chicago?
Blackhawks is Chicago hockey team, yeah.
Well, yeah, what... How come Obama never said anything about that? Oh, because it's from Chicago, like,
or
here
because,
you go.
Maybe it's because the whole Redskins thing, I don't know.
But why wouldn't you say something about... Like, any of the other teams that...
I mean, at least it looks like a noble mascot. Like I said, Cleveland Indians. That dude. That dude is not... I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not really racially ambiguous. I am a Caucasian.
But yeah, here's a quote. This is kind of funny. By keeping the name and adopting a heart-healthy, appealing logo, the Washington Redskins would set a powerful example on and off the field. And that's no small potatoes.
You know what? I support that. can we send them a message and ask them how I can get a t-shirt or some literature to support this cause? That'd be hilarious. I would suddenly care about football if our mascot was a potato.
Yeah.
I could get behind the potatoes.
The fighting potatoes.
You know, everyone would bring potatoes to games and eat potatoes. I like where this is going.
Yeah, you're Polish. She likes potatoes.
I do. I'm Polish and I love potatoes. Polish people love potatoes. Starches.
Yum.
Yeah.
Alright. Oh, yeah, okay, we're actually gonna go to another break, and then we're gonna come back, and we're gonna talk about some other good stuff, talk about some Bill Maher, talk about some other stuff.
Whatever we feel like it.
Whatever we feel like it. All right. Breaking Beltway.
to tie your life. I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dull surprise.
Hey, 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 welcome everybody. You're listening to Breaking Beltway with Kat Timpf and Jessica Chasmar. All right, what are we talking to, or what are we talking about next? We have the school janitor.
Oh yeah, the mini hit. I love this story. This is hysterical. This is capitalism.
Oh man.
I wrote this story for Washington Times.
This is not capitalism.
I wrote this story for WashingtonTimes.com. This woman, this school janitor, she worked in the cafeteria in this Michigan elementary school.
Michigan, where in Michigan?
Let's see, Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, okay, not Detroit. Continue.
And she was caught trying to hire a couple of fourth graders for $1 to beat up a 9-year-old boy who spoke disrespectfully to her. I guess he cursed her out, and a couple of teachers and other students overheard this transaction being made.
What happened to this janitor? This janitor.
She was fired.
This janitor. It's dog fighting with children.
Right. Sick 'em.
That's unbelievable.
$1. She didn't
was
even,
just fired. Michael Vick did it with dogs.
It wasn't even $1 each. It was $1 total. This was two kids, or I think it was three kids. I don't know how they split that up.
Did they still get the dollar?
Well, that's where it gets tricky, because the funny twist here is, the district spokesman, he said that she was fired on the spot. Right. However, the mother said that the hit actually went through, and that her son was beat up.
Wow.
So it's kind of like, she's considering a lawsuit. Okay. And she said that she's worried for her family's safety. Listen, she says, I don't know what kind of woman I'm dealing with. It's a little sick and twisted to me. I get enjoyment out of making a group of kids beat up a little kid you don't like. And I agree, it's totally screwed up, but I think she might be trying to exploit the situation. Because if teachers overheard this going down, then she would have been reprimanded immediately, and she would have been taken aside immediately. I mean, to think that the hit would actually go through.
So wait, do you think it didn't really happen?
We don't know.
Right, that's
the thing.
We don't
know. She was fired, but we don't know. It's his word against his. The principal said she was fired on the spot. The mother said that the boy was beat up. So I guess we'll see if a lawsuit gets filed.
Jeez, because I mean, if she really did that, you know, you could see if that could be even like assault charges.
Oh heck yeah! I mean,
if she was just fired, that isn't
right. Then
that doesn't
she could
make
definitely
sense.
Go to
it's
jail
like
for
you,
that.
It's like either you didn't do it or you're. Should have a criminal case, you know, not even just a civil case.
Right, exactly. You would think that if it actually...
This middle ground doesn't make sense to me.
Right. You would think that if the kid actually was beat up, then the mother would have gone to the police.
Yeah.
You know, but she didn't. She's just considering a lawsuit against the elementary, which tells me that...
Right, because
it didn't.
You would say
it didn't
both,
happen.
All or nothing.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You would go to the police because that's right. Ridiculous. And if this is true, like
and if
I'm
you really were that
I'm
afraid
for
yeah.
My family, she would have gone to the police, and she didn't. So she's just trying to get money out of it. But how crazy is that? What was this janitor thinking?
I know, assuming that this.
Could
janitor...
you imagine? Like it's almost like here, I'll give you a cookie. You know.
I mean, this janitor obviously shouldn't be working in this school.
No,
this is...
No.
I mean. What do you think they're thinking right now? Do you think they're like, man, it almost worked? I mean, or do you think they're like, I guess if you're the kind of person that is going to pay two kids to beat up another kid, you're probably actually not the kind of person that's going to look back and think it was ridiculous.
Right.
That's the worst part, is this person's not like, man, really messed up there.
Yeah.
Telling those kids to beat up that other kid. They're probably like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You don't see, it's not a big deal. You're making such a big deal. Nothing. The kids to beat each other up, man. It's nothing, man.
You know, it sounds to me like it was kind of more like out of entertainment value rather
right.
than revenge.
Right. Oh, man. What a bizarre... Let's get this person on the show.
Right?
Anybody knows the identity of this janitor?
I need to find the name of this janitor.
Let's call them and invite them to... Let's fly them out. Just kidding. I don't want them to pay kids in the hallway to come in here and beat us up. Apparently that's this person's M.O.
And, this other story that I wanted to talk about was kind of funny. Bill Maher, he always says all sorts of crazy stuff.
Right.
But he had Chris Matthews on his show the other night, and Maya Wiley from the Center for Social Inclusion. And, whatever that is, the Center for Social...
Buzzword.
The Center for... I just heard the words come out of my mouth, and I'm like, wait a second.
United Project Solutions.
The Center for Social Inclusion, President Maya Wiley. But anyway, okay, they were hanging out with Bill Maher on a show. And Bill Maher actually said that President Obama is leading as a centrist out of fear of being assassinated like John F. Kennedy.
What is centrist about universal health care?
Well, yeah, I want to know what is moderate about this man.
Yeah.
And I want to know, is that really what he means? Does he really want to say that? And Chris Matthews was like, whoa, buddy.
Right.
He was like, you want to tell me that you think that he's actually changing and you know, that he's changing his policies because he's afraid of being killed? That's quite a claim.
Right.
That's
quite
a claim.
And does he mean it, though?
Yeah, let's see. Chris Matthews, he said, I'm amazed. I'm impressed you think that. And Maher said that assassination is probably something that keeps Obama awake at night. And he said, Matthews said he has to change his policies for that reason. And Maher said, I don't think that it's an insult to say somebody that he may modulate his policies because he's afraid of all the hate that he sees. So, you know, Bill Maher actually believes that Obama is a moderate and that he, you know, his leadership
so
is moderate.
So what should Obama be doing that's more, like, if he's moderate and he's not being, you know, he's saying he's not being liberal enough?
I guess so.
Is that what he's saying?
Well, Bill Maher is a strong liberal, so I'm assuming that he would want, you know, Obama to be more to the left. But, you know, to say that he's that weak, to say that he is that feeble to actually guide his policies for fear of being like JFK, I mean,
that shows what
Maher thinks of Dear Leader, because he loves this guy. I mean, he likes Obama. He's, you know, he criticizes him a lot, but he also really likes him. He would vote for him again, I'm sure.
Oh, yep.
So, I don't know. To say that he's guided by an idea that he, you know, he's just a step away from being shot is pretty amazing.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Right?
That's, I'm just going to say it.
It is. It is.
Yeah. All right, song time. Time for a song.
Musical break. We got some bad company.
Walking down this rocky road, wondering where my life is leading, rolling on to the bitter end. Finding out
baby.
Welcome back to Breaking Beltway. I am Jessica Chasmar.
I'm Catherine Timp.
And we come to you every Tuesday night at BreakingBeltway.com or the iTunes store. And we just got an update. We were just talking about Walmart and the EBT glitch.
The glitch.
And the crazed food stamp recipients. And actually, we just got an update. Walmart says that they have no regrets about allowing... Let's see. This is what ABC News said. Walmart has no regrets about allowing a wild shopping spree at two of its Louisiana stores.
How could it say that?
Yeah, and the spokesperson said, we know we made the right choice. And let's see. The Louisiana... Oh, Department of Children and Family Services said that they should have been limited to $50 each. But Walmart is basically saying that they'll take the loss.
Our focus was
to continue serving our customers. So there you go. They're not going to try and be reimbursed, which is good. I thought they were going to try and fight it. So that's good. They're taking the loss. They're looking at it as a charity, and so those people got their free food and were able to. I mean, I'm still angry as hell. I'm not happy about it. Yeah. I don't think that they should be able to take
advantage of
the
system. It's not charity. Charity implies you gave something to someone. You can't have someone steal from you and then...
Charity implies a donation where that was taxpayer money. So, it's just messed up. I don't know.
Yeah, so can we talk about this ranch dressing guy now?
Oh, yeah, so we're talking about crazed mobs.
Yeah, crazed people.
Mental disorder.
Kind of the theme.
Let's see. Police say a Seattle fast food customer who wanted 3 packets of ranch dressing... but learned he would have to pay for the third, flew into a rage and attacked a 60-year-old man who tried to calm things down at a Jack-in-the-Box.
How much did the ranch cost? I mean, 50 cents?
25 cents.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, he was complaining about being overcharged. He mumbled something about having a knife, and he climbed on a purple bike and rode away. So
Of course he did. So he assaulted somebody over 25-cent ranch dressing and then rode away on a purple bike.
Yeah, it didn't say if he took his food.
Right, let's I was going to say, so did he get the ranch dressing?
Oh, trying to prevent a scene, the cashier gave the customer a third container of ranch dressing.
I mean, so...
police say the 60-year-old man was not seriously injured.
Not seriously injured? What does that mean, someone was injured?
Yeah, the 68-year-old man, he stepped in to try to calm things down, and I guess he shoved him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, not seriously injured. I mean, I wonder what that means. Like,
but I guess he was injured, I guess? I don't know.
Jeez.
Ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing.
I mean, Kat, I know that you really like your ranch dressing.
I do like ranch dressing. I like honey mustard and ranch.
Honey mustard is the best.
Honey mustard's bomb.
So what would you do if you had to pay 25 cents for an extra
packet?
I'd
pay 25 cents.
Would you? Or would you just not take
it? No, I paid. If I'm going to go to a restaurant, I'm going to go to a restaurant. Okay? I'm not going to order a salad with the salmic vinaigrette on the side. What did I say?
Who would eat that at a restaurant? Who orders a salad at a restaurant?
I don't know. I tweeted that one time. I'm like, it's like, you know, I could go out to a restaurant. I said, why go out to a restaurant and order a salad with the balsamic vinaigrette on the side when you could just stay home and cry?
It's true.
And that's exactly how I feel.
And I can understand if it's like lunch or like it's a power lunch at work or whatever, but you don't go out to a restaurant on a Friday night and order a salad with balsamic vinegar on the side.
I mean, stay home and eat your whatever.
Yeah, your lean
vegetable, cuisine. You know, I don't
stay home and eat your vegetables in a bag, like I do.
I don't do that, but totally.
But there was something else that was really funny that somebody sent you at Campus Reform. What was that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so first I got this email from the guy to myself, by myself, and then they sent it to my boss through our news tip line. But it was directed at Jessica and I, even though Jessica works at the Washington Times. Anyways, it said, hi, Catherine, or Jessica. My name is James Cuff, owner of at Dream Shield Auto in Las Vegas. I bulletproof cars as a part of the customizing of them. Nice. And will offer substantial discounts to investigative journalists, etc. That's all. Thanks and keep up the good work. Best, James.
What does he think we're covering, Syria?
Why do we need bulletproof?
He thinks we're in Syria. Oh, yeah, you don't drive, but, like, we need bulletproof glass shields.
That's a very strange message.
And that's so funny that they sent it to your work email, and I don't work there.
Directed at Catherine and Jessica. Like, that's bizarre.
And your boss posted this on his wall.
Yeah, what did he say again? He said something pretty funny. Let's give a hat tip, right?
Josiah Ryan.
He said, this guy emailed me at Campus Reform to suggest bulletproof glass for Catherine Timpf and Jessica Chasmar due to whatever they're saying on their Breaking Beltway podcast.
Yeah, we are pretty badass. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to want to kill us.
Bulletproof glass is a little insane. It's
kind of, I don't know. I mean, bring it on.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to tell people to shoot me, but that's fine.
Well, today was fun. Next week, we will see you Tuesday night. Well, tonight we're a little late, but we'll be posting a show every Tuesday night, and make sure to check back at BreakingBeltway.com and the iTunes store, and you can subscribe to us at iTunes, actually.
Yep, with the podcast app.
Yep.
All right, guys. Awesome. We'll see you next
Thanks
week.
For listening.
Some pirates satellites orbiting your the right.